You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
What if the toughest and most shameful time of your life turns out to be the most blessed? God has a way of turning tragedy to triumph, and for some, their time in prison is one such time. Who'd have thought that being locked up would lead to freedom? Well, this week, I'm delighted to be joined on the Leadership Show by a man who heads up a ministry that looks to encourage those in prison to know the liberation the gospel brings. He heads up Prison Fellowship International, PFI, which works in 120 countries on six continents through multi-denominational, indigenous and autonomous national ministries, powered by more than 45,000 local volunteers. His name is Andy Corley. He had 30 years experience as a leader in the business world before joining PFI in 2018, having been involved already as a board director and treasurer. So great to welcome you to the Leadership Show, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. It's a pleasure to be here. What a great introduction to the kind of work that we and our national ministries do around the world. That you kind of nailed it there.
Well, thank you. You obviously had good publicity material to help me. All leadership has a context, Andy. PFI is quite widely spread ministry. So perhaps you could explain what PFI is, first of all, and then we'll drill down into your leadership of it.
Well, just a quick history lesson that may be of interest to our listeners. PFI was part of the Chuck Colson stable. Chuck began Prison Fellowship in the United States in 1976, following his time inside for Watergate. Had his whole life turned around by the Lord, particularly when it came to prisoners and their families and what he observed. Set up Prison Fellowship in the US, but then what happened was very quickly several men and women came to Chuck and said, "We love what you're doing, but we don't want to be part of an American pyramid kind of organization. We want a global fellowship. Would you be willing to do that?" And Chuck did, and set up Prison Fellowship International in 1979. So this principle that you've already outlined about us being independent and indigenous on the front lines in all of those countries is a very precious one to us. It does release a lot of innovation and a lot of opportunity where the ministry context is decided upon by local leadership, where they can make the decisions that are around, that are most suited to the context in what they serve. But what we do at PFI is we get behind that effort as a catalytic accelerator, putting an arm around their shoulder and helping them to be more effective in the ministry that God has called them to.
And Andy, I'm sure there's loads of stories of people coming to faith. Which ones have you come across that particularly resonate with you?
You know, Andy, there literally are so many. If I start by saying that some of our national ministry leaders are men and women that have spent time inside. Many of our volunteers, also the 45,000 that you mentioned, would be those who have spent time inside prison, had a radical encounter with Christ, and then that has turned their world around, and then they go back into prison missionally and out of a sense of they received so much whilst they were there. Seems odd to talk about that, doesn't it? But that they received this great gift while they were inside prison and now want to do something about it. And then I would say also just the stories that I come across regularly of men and women, individuals that I can see in my head, names that I could quote to you all across the world. I make it a part of my own leadership to try and get into prisons as often as possible in an international context. So I've just met so many of them now. I could, if you wanted to, we could dive deep in to particular stories, but there are literally so many, too numerous to count, but I can kind of see them all in my head because they make a big difference to me in
Sure.
my own leadership, and I can see that end result.
I guess many will be familiar with the concept of a prison chaplain, and some will be familiar with the idea of alpha in prisons. There's been a alpha ministry. How are your volunteers working with prisoners?
Well, what happens, I think, is that this the issue of men and women who are incarcerated all over the world is such a big problem for pretty much everybody. Breaking the cycle of crime, restoring lives is a very, very big kind of problem that almost all nations face. Nobody has really got this cracked. Everybody is struggling with issues of overcrowding, repeat offending, high recidivism rates, breakup of families as a result of men and women being inside prison. I mean, it's a pretty catastrophic situation when you think about it. So for us, we are very much wanting to be a creative part of the solution so far as that is concerned. We know that our brothers and sisters who are chaplains are wanting to do the same. There are other great programs like Alpha in prisons. There's plenty of room for all of us, and we really do applaud anybody who gets engaged in this sector. We're not in competition with anybody or anyone, and our kind of desire is to, because I think this is what the issue deserves and almost demands, is a coalition of the willing for us all to be involved as men and women of faith, as the church, to get involved in this under-resourced sector, because the plain fact of the matter is, it's a great thing to do. It's commanded. You know, when I was in prison, you came to me, and many other scriptures as well. But also, it's a ripe environment for men and women to hear this transformational good news, a new narrative for their life. Just makes so much sense in a prison environment. So anybody who is working towards that end and ambition gets a big tick from us, and we just want to be a part of the creative solutions that are needed.
I understand you have something called the prisoner's journey that you use within prisons.
That's right. That was our kind of, it's a flagship program for us now. It was a collaboration with Christianity Explored Ministries. Your listeners may be familiar with that fantastic program. 8 weeks answering three questions: who is Jesus, why did he come, what do I need to do about that? Christianity Explored have been a great partner of ours for nearly a decade now, and we turned that program, made it very relevant to the prisoner's kind of situation. We actually used a wonderful man called Stephen James from Wales, who had spent 4 years in prison himself, to do that kind of contextualization for us. Since we launched in 42 countries, which is the number of countries that have actually had this program, we've nearly graduated a million prisoners now from that program alone, that 8 week deep dive into the person of Jesus. And the great thing is that the follow-on discipleship rate, because we gather all of this information, because it's really important for us to know how well we're doing, how, you know, when you set targets, often they get the emphasis that they deserve. 70% of the men and women who graduate that 8 week program request and go on into further discipleship, which we are able to provide through a variety of other partners. So that's a really big statistic there, and one of the things that we are doing as an organization now is to talk a lot about reaching tipping points in prisons where the spread of the gospel becomes a sort of viral expansion, if you like. That's not theory for us. We're actually seeing it in a number of places around the world, and it's something that we are wanting to expand and to deepen around the global fellowship.
And Andy, to what extent do you have to adapt your work? You're in lots of countries, and there'll be different cultural nuances to those nations. Is your work able to be much the same from place to place, or are you adapting it massively?
Absolutely. That's the great advantage of having a global fellowship, which is multi-ethnic, multicultural, is that whilst we do have certain programmatic standards that we are keen to implement all around the world, and partly that's because the sort of issues that prisoners face in different countries, there is a similarity to many of them. But when it comes to cultural relevance and the nuances that exist in somewhere like Australia or Malawi, then we're able to leave that in the hands of the national ministry and the national ministry leadership. So, for instance, in Australia, where we run the prisoner's journey, because such a big proportion of the prison population in Australia is actually the indigenous Aboriginal community, then with the Prison Fellowship Australia, without messing with the fundamental integrity of the program itself, have made it very visual using Aboriginal art and that sort of thing. So yeah, absolutely. We try to get the best out of all of the assets that exist within PFI on the front line, and is a great advantage, I think, of being this independently led, indigenously orientated global family.
Okay. It must have been quite a journey from life in the building supplies industry to heading up PFI. What sort of leadership principles have been transferable from that world, and maybe what principles haven't been?
Well, that's a great question. I think we're very much a values-led organization, and I learned that as a businessman in the building materials industry, and then in a startup company that I co-owned in the detergents and disinfectants sector. I've always tried to lead from a values perspective. I think it's really important that that is the core of what one does. And I've never been afraid of using data to drive what I would call performance. Now, I need to be really clear about what I mean by that, which is that we think that we have to be good stewards because the resources, the financial resources that we are deploying, come from patrons and donors. So we want to, with a very good heart and analytically, be deploying those resources in the very best way possible. Number two, we want to be effective. We've got a wide open door in front of us. So being effective and creating a big organization around that that is capable of kind of capturing the opportunity in front of us is really important. But if I said what our values are, we crafted them very quickly, actually. Our vision and mission took a long time for us to actually articulate. It wasn't easy, but the values came very quickly. And these are what they are. We want to be authentic. We want to be growing. We want to be accountable. We want to be relational, and we want to be proactive. And we try to live those every single day at PFI. As I said before, with this catalytic accelerator sitting at the heart of a global movement, what I learned in the business sector was all around performance. But what we bring, obviously, as a faith-based for impact organization is a big bleeding heart, fired by the passion that God has placed within us for those who are at the bottom of the pyramid in terms of those in prison, their families, and victims. That's who we want to serve. And none of those are statistics. They are all individual people. So it's this kind of combination of the two that I think that we are trying to continually balance, being performance-based, empirically minded. We're doing some really great work working with universities around recidivism rates and cultural change within prison. We're not afraid of that kind of data, but nobody should be under any illusions. What fires it is a determination to do our best for the Lord in the first instance. You know, we believe that this is his mission that he has called us to, and we just want to be effective in our deployment of the resources that he's given us to steward.
Thank you, Andy. And do you use the word recivism? That may not be familiar to
Recidivism.
everyone.
Yeah, recidivism is the rate of return of men and women who exit prison and then go back in.
Oh, okay, wow.
So that's a big problem for many, many countries, is
Yes.
that recidivism can be very high, and of course it's in nobody's interest for that to occur.
No.
And so recidivism is a key thing that we are working towards, part of the creative solution providing that we hope to bring to this multifaceted need for different kinds of solutions in a very complex area.
Andy, I said at the start that you work in 120 countries, six continents, 45,000 local volunteers. You're a leader of all this. So how do you decide on your focus in a given week, month, year?
Well, it's very important, I think, to continually emphasize that I realize that my own particular skills and gifting, I'm no replacement for Chuck Colson. I'm no replacement for Ron Nicol, who was the guy who drove and actually expanded the global family so much. I have a massive interest in raising up 123 Chuck Colsons.
Yes.
That's really how I think, is how can we empower those national ministries to be the best that they can. We have some remarkable leaders working in some very, very challenging circumstances, and I want to give them credit here. It's not really isn't about me, although clearly I have a role to play. It is about them, and the closer we are as international as necessary and as local as possible, I would say, in terms of our orientation. There are definitely things that we are doing that help, and we're continually looking to increase the interventions that PFI brings to the global family and beyond, but all of the credit really needs to go to them. They're the real heroes in the story.
Well, it's good to hear, Andy. What kind of spiritual rhythms keep you going?
Gosh, a combination of, each morning I try to have a quiet time, and that I'm usually successful at that, unless I'm traveling, and then that can go a little bit AYF because of jet lag. I listen to a huge amount of podcasts, that I try to feed my imagination and the spiritual part of who I am. I rest with my family, and I make sure that I've got a community around me that supports me, and I'm very, very privileged in that. I've got some great friends, a wonderful family, an amazing partner in my wife who enables me to do all of this. So I would say it's I start from inwardly, feeding the bits of me that need to be fed, but then I've got all sorts of other things that I try to do, physically, mentally, spiritually. They all combine into being a flourishing life, which I genuinely think is what God wants for all of us. So, a bit of sport in there as much as I can. Love being on my tractor mower whenever I can. So, yeah, all sorts of things, Andy. But I think the most important thing is just to be aware that God is, as I understand him through his revelation through scripture and through encountering him myself, God is a good God, and he is for us in every single way. And therefore, we do well to kind of think of ourselves as a tripartite human being who needs to that needs to be healthy in all of those several areas so that we can be really, really effective and live life to the full, which I think is what God wants for us.
Andy, people listen to this from around the world, but of course, most will be UK based. So PFI's work in the UK, which particular prisons?
Yeah, so P Prison Fellowship England and Wales, Prison Fellowship Scotland, Prison Fellowship Northern Ireland, Prison Fellowship in the Republic of Ireland. We have national ministries in all of those locations doing great work, very varied work. A huge number of prisons that in Northern Ireland, we have a presence in all of them. In the United Kingdom, the vast majority of prisons will be being served in one way or another. So, yeah, go on their websites, get in contact, volunteer, pray. If you are moved to give, fantastic. There are all sorts of different ways that you can actually help with this particular mission. All really well led. The leadership is very good in those national ministries. So we're very proud of our historic kind of links, because indeed Northern Ireland and England and Wales were some of the earliest. Well, they weren't organizations at the time, they were individuals, but they were the ones who went to Chuck and said, "We'd love you to set up a global fellowship." So deep roots here for the Prison Fellowship International family.
And Andy, you've hinted already that prison is a big challenge for certainly the UK government. You know that there is a something of a crisis in terms of overcrowding. Our justice system depends upon a flourishing, if that's the right word, prison system. And so now would be a great time for people to be praying and getting engaged and involved.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Andy. And I think that this is an area that the church, these kinds of areas of service, the church has always excelled at. You know, our history right back to 2,000 years ago was to serve the widow and the orphan and the poor. We really did a wonderful job as the community of saints way back then. Well, as you know, within 4 centuries, it had kind of grabbed the whole of the Roman Empire from very, very humble beginnings. And you will always and very often find Christians at the forefront of some of these knotty and difficult problems that society faces. And I would put prisoners and their families and victims right smack bang in the middle of that. But I think it's a little bit more exciting than that. I think there's almost a zeitgeist moment for us to take advantage of, where in a society that is struggling somewhat at the moment with the issue of hopelessness, then we have a very dynamic identity transforming message that has real power. And when it comes to the delivery of that message, I think people will be very surprised at how relevant it becomes in a prison environment. Number one, how transformative that message can be at your lowest point. But also, there's something really important as well about us not forgetting those who are in prison. You know, the words of Jesus are pretty stunning when you think about them. "When I was in prison, you came to me." There's something pretty deep about that, something very incarnational about that. And I try to, you know, as I thought about what it is that our amazing volunteers and all those from other organizations that go in as well, many, many organizations not part of the PFI family, but what they are intrinsically doing is going to a community that is isolated, forgotten, in an institution that either, I'm not just talking about the UK now, I'm talking in prisons worldwide, those institutions, whether deliberately or accidentally, they are institutions and they tend towards stripping people of identity. Now, when you have a volunteer going in, then the dynamic changes, because that volunteer is intrinsically validating you are created in the image of God. You still matter. You still matter to God. There's something very rich and very dynamic and actually very beautiful about that. In the moment at the moment where hopelessness is a big deal, whether in prison or out of prison, we have a message which counteracts that in very powerful ways, and particularly when delivered by people who've experienced it themselves.
Well, certainly, let's hope that and pray that some people listening to this may feel a sense of calling to that very thing, either to give, to support, to pray, or to go indeed into prisons themselves. So, Andy, it's been terrific to chat with you. Exciting to hear of what God is doing in what some would regard as one of the most unlikely places, but wonderful to hear the liberation that the gospel brings to so many. So thanks for all you're doing, and thank you for being on the show today.
It's a pleasure, Andy. Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you to anybody who may be listening who is involved in this kind of work. God bless you, and thanks for all you're doing.
It was lovely to chat with Andy Corley, who heads up Prison Fellowship International, PFI. And as I say, it works in 120 countries, powered by more than 45,000 local volunteers, including the UK. So you can go to their website and find out more if this is of particular interest to you. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company and looking forward to the next time. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.